Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come before you and we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We just pray that you would help us to be faithful to you. Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, help us keep in our hearts and minds you, who you are, Father. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just read a little bit in John, first chapter of John. I want to start there, I think. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The thought there, I think, is that I wanted to bring out is just in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was, and the Word was God. Then it talked about all things coming into being, or all things being created by God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say unto you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What I want to think about this morning is... just simple faith, or just trusting in God. It's so easy for us to get anxious and worry about all kinds of things. Things that happen, things that come into our lives. And yet, whenever we think, whenever we have faith, with faith comes a rest that doesn't look at our situation, but it looks at our Creator, the one who brought us into this world. This world where we're often weighed down with many troubles and many problems, but usually that is because we're looking at what's around us instead of what and who it is that is in control. Whenever God created things in the very beginning, the Bible says that Jesus was with him. And Kevin was mentioning this morning about the gradual goodness of God. But whenever we just look at creation, I mean, God created all things from the very beginning. And we look at the world, and it is good. I mean, when God said he created these things, and then he said it is good. And if we just slow down our lives enough just to look at this world that we live in. I mean, you look at night, you look out and you see all these stars. You see a moon. You see all the order of how things are just operating, the daytime we have the sun. Kevin's thought about the gradual goodness of God is, you know, when it rains, it just comes in small drops. It's just not, here's some water, dumps it all out on us at once. It comes in small drops. Just gradually, just enough for the earth to soak it in. Sometimes it has floods. But in general, when we look at things, just the general goodness that there is behind this world. Now, I mentioned floods and other things that happen. Something is out of order in this world. We notice that too. We notice that behind all this there is order, there is goodness. There is a kind, benevolent goodness to this place we dwell in. I've just thought about it, just a few degrees temperature. Everybody's worried about global warming, and they say if the temperature rises 2 or 3 degrees in general in a hole, the earth caps will melt and we'll all be flooded and we'll all die. Well, that fragile of an environment can't just happen and can't just be created. That fragile of an environment, if man can just completely destroy that by, then he will eventually. But the thought that we're here and still have life, and life is still sustained in this environment, and we're living within whenever you talk about being able to measure temperatures to 3 or 4 or 5,000 degrees and 300 or some below, or 400, 500 degrees below zero, going both ways. And here within, we live within basically a span of 100 to 100, 150. That's just a pretty small range just to have life pop out of. I thought, the scientists, they're all excited. They think they've found life or water on Mars. And they say, well, water is the source of life, is what they're saying. So they're all excited because they've found water on Mars. Maybe they'll find life. But life isn't in the water. Life's in God. Water just sustains life. It doesn't give life, and it's not created in it. That's what they'll find, that there will be no life there. Because it's just, water just supports life. It doesn't, it isn't created by water. God gives life. The point I'm trying to bring out is that just looking at everything around us, you can see a good creator. But something there's something wrong. There is something wrong. There are floods. There are storms. There are things. The Bible talks and says that the earth is crying out under the weight of sin, under the burden of sin. So all this stuff that's coming upon the world, these problems that still happen, and then the sun comes back out. I mean, a tornado can come through and just destroy everything. And an hour later, the sun will come out, the birds will start singing, everything just kind of goes right back to normal. Right after this huge, destructive storm, things just in nature just return back to the goodness that's God. And I just want to talk and just want to about finding the rest of just being at peace with God. Because we're trusting in Him. You know, we know we have a choice, and we know we have a will, and we know we can choose bad or good. We can choose evil, or we can choose good, and sometimes those decisions get pretty cloudy, and it's hard to see. And there is a responsibility for us. It's not just about believing that God is good and everything will just be okay. But yet, God is still good. God is still good. And He's trying to get us to trust Him. You know, the very idea of God from the very beginning has spoken to man. You know, we have a Bible. We read the Bible and we think we've got the truth because of that. Well, if we didn't have a Bible, if someone wouldn't have preserved a Bible or translated it into English, we would still have the goodness of God all around us. All around us, we can still see there's something good here. And we've all been around people. We've saw people who were evil. And we know they're bad. And we know their actions are hurting people and doing wrong, destructive, tearing up everything. And we've seen that. Just like a tornado. And then we've also seen examples of someone who's just good. And even if all of this means nothing, I mean, even if there's no eternity, even if there's nothing further than this life, just what I've examined, just what I've seen in life, I've been all over the world, I've seen people everywhere, and I've seen how they react to each other, and how they treat each other, and how push comes to shove, and just get ahead, get ahead, get ahead. And then I've seen just examples of people just working together, being kind to one another, and just the general goodness that can be there. And you know, all of the bright lights, all of the things that the world has to offer, all of the get ahead, comfort that we try to seek for ourselves, whatever it is, it's nothing compared to just the simple goodness of mercy and kindness, caring for one another, looking out for one another, and somebody else giving that back. That is the kingdom of God. It don't have to have all of that other stuff. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us about. We worry about all these other things, but seek first the kingdom of God. The love, joy, the peace, the mercy. Those things. That we seek after those things. All this other stuff will be added to us, he said. But there's a... We see God. We see Jesus in those good things. In that goodness. It's right there. We don't have to... In John it says that... Let's turn this. 1 John. The Gospel of John. Chapter, beginning verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen it and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Verse 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Here, the apostle, John, saw this goodness all around him. Saw God. And here, he was able to meet this manifestation of all of this goodness in one person. The rest of the world missed him. Very few people saw this in this man. Like I've said before, when Jesus came into the earth, he didn't have a sign tattooed on his head, Jesus, I'm him, believe me. It was the way he lived, the manner of life he lived, that people were able to see the goodness in him. He came to restore. He didn't come bringing religion. He didn't come teaching us to do this or to do that. He came to teach us how to be like him, to be good. He came and as he walked this earth, when he ran into someone that was sick, and he healed them. The problems that this world, the sin has brought into this world, the storms, the disease, the death, all of those things. When he came into the world, the sea came up a storm. He was sleeping in the bottom. He rose up, they woke him up, and he said, be still. And the sea obeyed him. The earth obeyed him. He restored it to the calmness that it was supposed to be from the beginning. Satan is as a roaring lion trying to scare us, trying to deceive us, trying to get us all stirred up so that we don't think about the goodness who God is. We see all the storms. We see all the trouble. We see the evil. And we don't even look at the goodness behind the storm. The goodness that comes right after the storm goes through. Jesus was manifested to this man, to John. We've seen it. We've handled it. It wasn't anything that it's the innate goodness of God. That later it says that God is love. In chapter 2 here, it talks about Oh, where is it? Well, maybe I don't have it. It's over here. Verse 7. Beloved, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And then in verse 17. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. There's so many things in those verses. God is love. And this love was perfected in the very fact that Jesus came into this world. This world that's got its problems, that's got its storms, that's been poisoned. And He came into this world and started fixing the little place where He was. He wasn't fixing things all around the world. He just walked in this world, and when something came to Him and He had the power to fix it, He fixed it. He restored things as they was. He loved those all around Him. Verse 17. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Our faith, when it is looking at God and trying to be like Him, there is a rest and there is a peace. Whenever we're trying to please God or trying to do things all ourselves without trusting in Him, that's when it gets all messed up. It's like whenever we set our hearts on some people want to go to heaven so bad that they're just constantly in fear. And they usually wind up all messed up, trying to seek after their goal, because their goal is not God. Oftentimes, we've talked about it before, that one man that we were talking with, and he was struggling, trying to make a decision, and he came to the conclusion that all he wanted was peace. All he wanted was peace. And so instead of just surrendering to just doing what's right and having that real peace, he settled for a false peace. He got his false peace, but he missed God. We want all of these things. We seek after these things. And our focus is on those things. And those things become what we aim for. And we fall short. Because that's not how you get there. People, the example of sometimes people will try to mimic the Anabaptist movement. So they read all about Anabaptists and they study them and they read and study a movement in history. And they try to pattern themselves after that example. And they fall short of it. They have to come up with all kinds of things trying to mimic what they've done instead of seeking the one that they were following and then becoming like them. We build ourselves patterns. We cut out a pattern and we try to fit that pattern. We try to fit our life to that pattern. And it never fits. We can never get there because we're trying to mimic a pattern instead of our Creator. We're trying to, and our trust gets misplaced because we're trying to fit something we think we want to be instead of just having the faith to look up at Him and walk with Him and be what He wants us to be. And that rest that comes with that. Oftentimes we're afraid of something. And I don't know how many times I've seen this happen. People get so caught up and so fearful of turning into something. And they fight and they struggle and they fight and they fight and they fight. And after a while they become the very thing they didn't want to be. I've seen children with fathers that were alcoholics and they hated it and they just fought it and fought it and fought it. Said, I'll never do that. And they grew up. Guess what they turned out to be? Just like their pop. Just like their father. Turned into an alcoholic. And then their children come along, do the same thing. They hate. And they're not going to do that. But they begin to look at the problem and they focus on not being that problem until it turns right around and they become that problem. I've seen people so worried about being deceived, so scared of being deceived, and all their focus is not trusting anybody, not trusting anyone because I don't want to be deceived. And they wind up deceived. It takes trust and it takes faith. This verse here that we just read, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. And the truth, for the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God. If we can't find goodness and faith and trust with people that we can see, we can't trust God. This is all we have right here. And if we can't see goodness and mercy in all those things, in other people, and trust and have faith and have confidence, we can't trust God. Whenever our focus comes on not doing something, or doing something, or reaching this level, or not reaching this level, our focus is on the wrong place. We are to be looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When we can rest in those things, when we can just trust. And that doesn't mean it's not going to be without trouble. That doesn't mean it's all bliss. Sometimes they painted a picture, or they asked somebody, I don't remember how the story goes, to paint a picture of peace. And somebody painted a nice scene, you know, just everything calm and everything beautiful. That was their image of peace. And then they pictured a storm. Someone painted a picture of a terrible storm, raging storm. And the person that was looking at these two pictures looked and said, "Well, how do you find peace in that?" And he said, "Well, look right down here in the corner." And in the corner there was a little duck sitting on a nest. And right in the middle of this storm, just sitting there minding her business. That's peace. It's not whenever the calm after the storm, the sun comes out and the birds are singing after the song, after the storm, that's not peace. It's when we're in the storm, knowing that there's a God in heaven that has all things under His control. And if He chooses to take me out or chooses to leave me in, I can have peace and rest because we know that God is good. God is love. God is good. Everything about it. And just resting in that thought, just resting, knowing that whatever I go through in life, and that's hard. That's hard. But just being able to rest that whatever storm we go through, God is still in control. He holds all things in His hand. I know that's, like I said, that gets really difficult sometimes whenever we're going through storms. But that's where real faith is. Faith isn't whenever we've got everything just hammered out the way we think it ought to be, and everything's going for us, and we can say, "Oh, thank God, praise God for the goodness." That's not faith. Faith is whenever nothing is going right. Everything's turned upside down. And there can still be a calm in it. There can still be a rest knowing that God holds all these things in His hand. Let's turn to 1 Peter. Chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 5, "You younger men, likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." Casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Whenever you cast something, you give it away. You cast it away. So many times we talk about something, but then we want to hold on to it. We want to hang on to it. We want to let it eat on us. We want to let it get a hold of us. But casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Why? Because He cares for you. We miss that. He cares for you. You know, I don't know that he cares about all your little problems. I don't know that he cares about all your little trifling things. But he cares for you. He cares for you. And so we can just cast all those little things on him, because he cares for us. We see that in all the... We see that all around us. There's a care. There's a nature. There's a care. Jesus talked about the sparrows. We're all worried about what we're going to eat. Well, Jesus feeds all the sparrows. They always come up with what they need. Well, what are we going? Well, God clothes. He makes the flowers grow. One of the things Kevin brought out the gradual goodness of God, the seasons. I mean, we don't just go from 20 below zero to 120 the next day. The seasons gradually come and they gradually go. Just a constant change that, I mean, we don't have to go from 100-degree temperature change. I mean, it drops and we kind of get used to it and we adapt to it a little at a time, to where on a day where it's 40 degrees outside, doesn't feel that bad when it's been 20. But if it would drop to 40 from 100, we'd be freezing. But just that gradual care, that he's concerned enough just to let those things come gradually to take care of us. Casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. We forget that. We've got a picture of the storm coming, and we're all just going to be just harshly judged by this fiery God. But when we trust him, we're on his side. You know, two nations were fighting, and one nation just had all the weapons, and this wise general, the wise leader, guiding it, and we were on the little puny team with slingshots and nothing to defend ourselves, and someone that was just a tyrant forcing us because he wanted to be a dictator. And then you have a king that's powerful, a leader, a general that's powerful. It would be fearful being on the other side. But when you're on his side, the side of the good king, the good leader, there's not anything to fear about, except just being what he wants us to be. Jesus is coming back. The Bible says on a white horse and flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who don't see God, they don't know God, and they don't pattern their lives after the way he wants them to live. There is a terrible day coming. But it's for those who refuse goodness, refuse to trust, refuse to have faith, refuse to just believe that he cares for us enough to guide us, to show us how we ought to live, how to be what he wants us to be. There's a rest in that. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Trying to get us all nervous and all upset, all worried. That's how he devours people. He devours people with things. God's not good. God's just waiting to judge you. Oh, there's a deceiver over there. Just suspicion. Those are not good things. Look at what is good. Look at what is good and follow after those things. And those things that are evil, avoid them. And just avoid them and trust in Him that is good. Just think about God's providential care for you. Providential care for everyone in the world. That He cares for you. A lot of the Bible, a lot of the Psalms are just praising God because they saw who He was. They saw who He is. His goodness and His greatness. You know, I just thought about it this week. You know, a lot of times when I pray, I say, thank you for your goodness and thank you for your mercy. And I just thought about that, you know. That's like, thank Him for His goodness. Well, He is good. There's no reason to... He didn't just create that, or it wasn't just something He does to us that we should thank Him for it. It's who He is. We should be thankful. The thankfulness is our part. It's not thanking Him because He's good. Because He is good. And this little prayer we used to say whenever we're... God is great and God is good. Now we thank Him for our food. And it's just... God is good and God is great. We thank Him for His care for us, but it's nothing that He's done specifically because He's good. That's who He is. We thank Him for Jesus. For Him coming into this world. Coming into this storm. And then offering Himself for us. Constantly making choices while He was in this flesh. We thank Him for giving Himself for us. Yet, that's who He is. But so often we are so ungrateful. I think that's probably one of ingratefulness. And that, I mean, there's just, you know, there's people that do wrong, and that's bad, to hurt someone or do something else, but just to be ungrateful. It's just an ugly thing. A real ugly thing. And like I said, somebody acting out a bad sin or something like that is one thing. But just to be ungrateful goes plumb to the heart. Plumb to the core. And that comes whenever we don't recognize who He is and His goodness and His care for us. I think that's one thing Younger men, it says, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Just respect. Respect and gratefulness and to those that are your parents, those that are helping you. Just to, God gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at proper time, casting your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Just that simple trust. You know, it's easy to trust whenever we're in need. You know, whenever we don't have anything else, anywhere else to turn, it's easy to ask for help. But the real sign of humility is when there is somewhere else to turn, and we come to the one who helps us all the time. I think that's why one of the problems with our society is we don't need anything. I mean, when you're hungry, it's pretty easy to ask God, help me, feed me. But when you got everything you want, everything you need, it's pretty hard to, where do we turn then? It's easy to look somewhere else and not be grateful and thankful, but it all still comes from Him. Anyway, that's a real blessing. He cares for you. Anyone have anything you want to share? Well, bless you and be with you. Yes, we'll meet back here tonight at 6 o'clock. God bless you.
Worship the King of Lords.
Zion, safety, our Praise the Savior.